This episode was recorded in November 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Do you know what? I've been watching a couple of things you've been doing, and what I think I really like about the interviews you do is your background is as bad as mine.
Thank you very much. I try. I mean, I've been following you, and I've been trying to see what is he doing. What's he doing there?
So I can tell you what I've done. I tell you what. At least I've been creative here because I've got. I don't know what the. Where are you? The weather.
What is that? What is that? Is that foliage? Is that what you've got in the background?
Foliage. It is indeed.
Yeah. Foliage.
Do you know what I was doing? I felt really guilty because I was on my little walk, my shuffle in the mornings, and there was this lovely tree with holly, and it was so just there. I thought, I've got to. And then I sort of had this really guilt pang thinking, Nick some holly off a tree. So there it is. That's my tip. You can't even see it because it's so dark. Literally, it looks like Armageddon here. I don't know what the weather's like.
No, mate, it doesn't look like Armageddon. It looks like Christmas. It looks like Christmas.
A really bad Christmas. Oh, brilliant. Now, listen, come on. Let's get the big one straight out of the way. Cromwell Ames Endeavour.
Yeah.
Genius. Genius. That's all I want to talk to you about, nothing else. Cromwell Ames.
Thank you very much.
Oh, fantastic. When was how did that all come about?
Yeah, that one was soon after I just left drama school. So I think it was just shortly after. So that came about, and honestly, listen, the team on that was just absolutely incredible. And actually, to its credit, I really wanted to do something different with him. You know, he was written really great, but I really wanted to make sure that he was just different. You know,
yeah.
I think
characters
like, yeah, thank you, and I'm so glad that you're a fan. I'm so glad.
Sat there, and I'm going, Sean Evans. I mean, the thing is, I've got to be honest. I'm a Morse. I mean, John Thoren Morse.
Big.
I mean, it's just
He's
iconic, isn't it? And so Endeavour, which is kind of like a champion, it's brilliant, but it's kind of...
I get you. Yeah, I do.
But it's still, I mean, Endeavour's Endeavour, isn't it? It's one of the most popular cities.
No, honestly, and
Nero, wasn't it Eddie Nero you were involved
with? Me and Eddie Nero, that's absolutely right. Yeah, I was in coaching on his turf, and... I had to come and stick it on him, you know. So I'm pretty sure I did that. Yeah.
The other thing I want to know is are you any good at boxing?
I am.
Do you still box now?
Do you know what? There's something that I've been preparing for that I was actually meant to have already done this year, but obviously with COVID I couldn't do. But yeah, it was a boxer. So I started doing like a lot of training for it, just preliminary, just before I started like transforming properly. But yes, I do. I have been keeping up with my boxing more so this year than any other year in recent years. Yeah.
You were due, apart from COVID, to actually play a boxer?
Yeah, I was meant to be filming something. Like now already, but
right.
I couldn't because of it. So, but yes, but yeah, I have been keeping up with boxing. That's it. That's a throwback. You've done your research, man.
The only thing I haven't got. What weight would you be?
Do you know what? It depends because I'll tell you why it does depend because I change
down my weight.
Yeah, if you're talking about lockdown, mate, let's go up. No, it depends because. I mean, I do. I'm a. I don't know. I get quite into my characters quite a lot. So depending on what I'm working on at the time, I'd either go up in weight or come down in it. I just can't help it. I just really enjoy doing that. So if you're asking me right now, I reckon I'll be a lightweight. I reckon I'll be a lightweight. But I think if you ask me just generally, like as David, I reckon I'll probably go for like a cruiser.
I was going to say super heavy.
Super heavy. What are you talking about? Super heavy? Heavy.
But if you're doing your boxing, do you have the head guard on, or do you just train?
We just train. I mean, I was going to say
the one thing you don't want is a big cut eye or something like that.
I mean, because obviously, I mean, you're only acting it really. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I do try and go into the deeper realms, but you kind of get pulled back. So you do mostly like pad work, footwork, and all those kind of good stuff. But no head guards, just the gloves and the wraps.
Have you had a fight?
What do you mean?
I don't mean like round the corner, round the back of the fight.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you're talking.
have you actually had a boxing match? No, I
started doing it when I was like around 11, 12. And that was just, if I'm honest, it was just my mum trying to take my mind off certain things. That's all. So no, I didn't really get to the point where I was like fighting and stuff. I mean, I wish I did, but no, I didn't.
Okay, the other thing that I found amazing is trampolining. What's all that about?
Where are you finding all this stuff?
You know what? I apologize now because the thing about this, they go, right, you're interviewing David Johnson. So you go, okay, you look at your stuff you do. But then the first thing you go to is Twitter and Instagram, innit?
Sure.
So you trawl through. I apologize. I do feel like a stalker.
No, you haven't. I'd say, I'm only messing around. No, I mean, trampolining for fun, I just mess around at a trampoline park. I used to mess around with gymnastics as well. I'm from quite a sporty household. My mum tried like every single sport
just
to get me like occupied. I have like a really fast or short attention span sometimes. I used to do trampolining. I used to do like football, basketball, all them good things.
Yeah. Okay. I can't find Gen Y anywhere. I can't. I've tried. I've literally trawled everything to my fingers. Like literally, it's gone.
No, that's fine.
Tell us about it. What was that all about?
Well, Gen Y was my first film. Really, I got some funding to make something that I'd wrote. So. I did, and it's been really good. It's been. I know why you can't find it, by the way.
Why?
I'm not sure I'm allowed to say now.
Okay, don't.
I won't. But you will see it. I promise you that. In fact, I'll just send you a link.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds clandestine and interesting. Yeah. I look forward to that. Okay, and then, how did Warner Brothers end up sponsoring you? Is that right?
Yes, it is. Warner Bros. Came about when I was auditioning for drama school. I was auditioning for Juilliard in America and RADA in the UK. I got in, and I think it was a year when I think Alan Rickman turned around to them in his wonderful, rest his soul, in his wonderful work that he was doing for RADA at the time. He turned around to Warner Bros. And said, listen, you have all these wonderful graduates in your movies, especially in Harry Potter, give us some money. And they were like, okay. So they decided to make that year that I entered an acting scholarship for just one actor. And I auditioned for it, and I got it. So that's how it pretty much panned out.
When at what point did you realise you were good?
I haven't, not yet.
you must do. I mean, I know people go, tell you what, he's fans. But there must come a point, like all of us, when you go, I'm quite good at this.
I'm just constantly learning, I'm just trying to learn. And honestly, these things, they take me by surprise, man. So... yeah, Warner Bros. Is one that I'm extremely grateful for, because I mean, without that scholarship, I don't know if I would have been able to go, So,
I spoke to a guy, I don't know, you might know him or not, an actor the other day called Tim Matheson. He was in the West Wing. He's a director. He's 72. He looks absolutely fantastic. And one of the things I said to him was, well, one, do you still enjoy it, which he does. But he said he's learning all the time. And I guess that's the thing about it, isn't it? It's like what I do, particularly what you do.
Yeah.
You must, because other actors, other directors rub off on you. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're surrounded by people who, you know, at best are extremely passionate about what they do. And listen, anyone, that's what I mean. In you know, when you go into like the gym and you're working on boxing and all those kind of things, you're literally surrounded by these people who do it day in, day out, eat, breathe that. You can't help but be incredibly inspired and just want to, like, you know, level up or do something better. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's exactly how I see it, you know.
But the same token as well, when you say you don't know, you don't think, oh, I'm good at it. You know, we all look at other people and go, blimey, that he's good or she's good, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I know. My mum tells me this all the time. I'm going to get better at it, I swear.
Have you got a style? Is there a David Johnson style as yet?
No, absolutely not. No, man. I mean, if there is a David Johnson style, if that ever does become a thing that people say at school,
there is a look. There is a David Johnson look. I'm telling you now.
I mean, the way you make it sound, it sounds.
I can't do it, but it's the look.
it's the firm stare. Yeah, I learned that from an early age. Don't worry about that. But I definitely hope that, you know, one day it will be, I don't know, just looked at as honest. And, you know, I definitely try and delve into all the characters that I do full on, you know, unapologetically. And I think, you know, truth is everything.
Tell us about Daddy.
Yeah, Daddy is a play written by a wonderful, wonderful playwright called Jeremy O'Harris. And it was, in fact, he wrote a play on Broadway, which is called Slave Play. And that's just been nominated for like 12 Tony Awards. I think the most nominated play in history, which is incredible, given he's a black man and he's basically broken that record. It's insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wrote Daddy, and Daddy was coming to the Almeida, and I got cast in the lead role for it. Yeah, we were rehearsing for it. It was insane. And again, I really try and get into my character. So I was kind of in like a real world. He's an artist, and he can be quite quite into his own self and his own head. So I was really into something. And then I remember one day Rupert Gould, the wonderful artist director of the Almeida, came in and was like, "We've got to go home." And I was like, "So what?" And yeah, we did. We had to stop it right there. It was a real shame. But you know, this what we're in now is just way bigger. You know, it's way bigger than anything. And I think we had
it. Will it? When we come out of this, will Daddy be revisited?
Yeah, yes. We're definitely been in talks to make it happen. But I think it needs an audience, because it's quite a big play, and day in, day out, you kind of just need people to come. So I think that's been like the Almeida's vision, and they've been incredibly supportive. So shout out to the Almeida, and we plan to come back to it again, schedule permitting and all that stuff.
My wife laughs at me. She says it's my age, but I end up talking to myself, and she goes, "Are you talking to yourself again?" I go, "No, I'm in my head," which I always did going into TV shows. They used to say he's practicing his ad libs, kind of thing. Do you? Which is a great line. I love that.
Great line.
Do you, do you go home with it? You know, say you've done a rehearsal or whatever, an intense day at the Almeida. Are you on the bus or in the taxi or in the car or whatever? How does it? Do you live it?
Yeah.
How do you break from it?
Honestly, I mean, I'm still really new to it. I often feel with these things, by the way, talking to you is a pleasure, but I often feel very like too young sometimes to be like sitting here and saying,
no, I don't make you know me feel. I am.
No, not you. No, not at all. Don't you? No, but you know, I just feel like I'm still freaking a lot out. But in to answer your question, do I go home with it? You know, yeah, I tend to. I try not to as well, because I know that. Listen, it's a job. You know, you come to it, you need to leave it, I have people around me who really love and care about me, and you don't want to like be that person who's just always moody. And it's like, wait, hang on, what? It's just David, just chill, like have some food. But no, I mean, I do find it hard to shake things. But I'm learning to be better with it.
But say, I mean, I was privileged enough to do a television show. It's called Soccer Saturday. As a results show, and it is mind blowing. It took me a day and a half to recover, honestly, you know, just one, mentally exhausted, but two, just on that wired kind of adrenaline level. When you've done a sort of play at night, it must be so difficult to, you kind of get used to it, but so just to wind down, isn't it? And then go again the next day.
And it's funny that actually, because the turnaround time is actually so small, you know, if you're, you know, I'm from a theatre background, I guess I might say, because, you know, you kind of train and you just do theatre. So then what you learn actually is the turnaround time. Like you do like 4 week rehearsals, like intense rehearsals, and then you get thrown into doing the show. And the second that you're like, doing the show, you know, you're what, you know, you get to the theater around what, 4 o'clock, you're warming up, you're already in it, and then you kind of get, you know, you're called to the stage at 7 o'clock, 7:30, you finish back about 10 o'clock if it's a long show, 11 o'clock, and then you're like back at it the next day. It's completely
relaxed. But you've also got to go, by the way, you've also got to go home.
Yeah,
you've also got to go home, then you've got to get a couple of things to eat, then to get to sleep, and then go back again.
It's pretty intense, and I think I do think. Listen, I think it's definitely the same with TV for me so far as well, but definitely more so theatre. I think, I don't know what it is about it. You just kind of get, especially when the play is something, the character pings off to you, and you just can't leave it alone. The research that you have to do for some of these characters just means that your mind is always ticking, always ticking. So yeah,
what do you like? Do you go? Are you the type of person that goes away and goes, bloody hell, I was good in that. I had a good night tonight. Or do you go away thinking, I knackered up one thing. I should have done that better. Which one are you? The glass half empty. But do you worry, think, damn, I should have done that.
No, I mean, I'm definitely the latter. I think I definitely go, I could have done that better. I could have done that. You know, I have people come and see a show, and they'll say, you were brilliant. And I'm like, you're a liar. Stop lying. But I'm definitely an optimist. I try not to be so hard on myself, because I definitely accept that I'm learning, you know. So you have to go to learn. You can't batter yourself. Otherwise you kind of get to a point where nothing's going in, you know. We're human, so there's only so much punches you can take before you kind of go, oh, forget it, it's not for me. So yeah, I'm kind to myself, but I'm definitely the person who goes, come on, we can make it better, we can do it better, let's do something else. Yeah.
Do you read the reviews? Do you take notice of them?
No.
You big fibber.
Absolutely not. I swear to you, I swear on everything. No, absolutely not. Is that they're not for me, you know. You, with all due respect to critics and people doing their job, that's not my job, you know. I feel like you kind of just do the work. And the closest I get to reading reviews is when I get like a message on Instagram or Twitter and someone says, thank you so much, that really related to me. Which, funny, I read a message like that this morning.
Oh, great.
And it was that's touching. You know, that's honestly, I swear, I wouldn't lie, that's the closest thing I get to reading reviews.
I interviewed a cricketer yesterday, lovely guy, he's coming to the end of his career, and I was saying, you know, for young players, what advice, he goes, if you're having a bad time, don't go on Twitter or Instagram. what a brilliant piece of advice that is, isn't it? Simple. I was expecting him to say, oh, you know, technique. He just went, don't go on Twitter.
Yeah, totally agree. Brilliant. Totally agree. Very good advice. Yeah, definitely.
Right. And listen, I Deep State, obviously, you've, you know, that's big stuff and whatever. But I think I've done really well holding off not asking you about industry, because it is, can you walk down the street, or have you got to put the moustache on and the beard and the glasses now? Or what's the, has it gone? and have you become goss to everybody when you walk round and you're on the bus or going to the chippy or whatever?
No, definitely not. Definitely not at that stage. Also, you know, I think a lot of my friends say that I look very different to how Gus looks.
But, yeah, you do.
But no, I'm not at that stage yet. I still get the bus, man. I still get the train. I still head to East London to see my mum. It's all good.
That's good. What's the reaction's been amazing though, hasn't it? I love it. But I hate everybody in it. I want to put my feet through the telly, which I guess is a success in its own right. But yeah. It is riveting, isn't it?
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's you know, I was saying this the other day. I think it's mental that it's out. You know, we spent 6 months making this in the rural end of Cardiff. You know, we didn't really think it was. You know, we just did it, and then you kind of get to the point where it's come out, and people are, you know, I get loads of messages and just wonderful, positive, you know, lovely messages from people when you go, oh my gosh, this thing that we did, that we spent time doing, is actually out and people care about it. It's insane. So thank you.
It's a bit, but it's massive. It's in America. It's here. It's BBC. It's brilliant. When you were doing it, that fascinates me as well. Do you sit there thinking, hey, I tell you what, this is going to be a smash, or do you just sit there going, we really haven't got a clue if this is going to work or not?
No, definitely. You definitely don't sit there going, this is going to be a smash. I don't know. Like, especially for someone like me who doesn't really pay too much attention to, you know, other things. You don't. You just kind of go, I think, to answer your question, I think the biggest thing that I felt doing it was that this was like a big thing, you know, as in like it was like a big machine in a way. It's HBO, you know, HBO.
Huge.
A huge, man.
Big, you know, banner on, is it Times Square? Is it the
big,
all that kind of thing.
That was a moment. It was a real moment.
And you're at the front of the picture as well there, by the way.
Dude, stop it.
Did you jostle for position? So go ahead and go.
Yeah, I knew it would happen. I said,
people out of the way.
No, it's HBO, and HBO has made some of the most, you know, I'm still, you know, like I said, I'm young, but I know The Sopranos, I know all these amazing shows, and then you get this through and your cast is like a leading role and you go, hang on, great, but it's still HBO, it's HBO and it's BBC, which is just as much clout. So yeah, I think if anything, you just feel like this is like a big thing, and you want to just do it justice. So that's all we worked on doing.
I tell you what, it's got everything. Obviously, characters. It's like a test and what have you. Do you know the other thing? I don't know, unwittingly, or I'm probably being absolutely wrong to the brilliant writers who were involved in finance. It's got a bit of finance idol about it, hasn't it, as well? You know, it's got everything anyway, but then you just chuck that one in as well, about everybody competing against themselves. Yeah. It's just very much of its time, I think.
Oh, thank you again. I know that, and credit, kudos to the writers. Shout out to them, Mickey and Comrade, they're geniuses, you know. They really did bring a real amount of experience and what they know to it, you know, and I think that for you to say it's of its time, which I know, you know, we've been getting quite a lot of, that's a real thing. Like that's from them. That's like from what they saw, what they imagined, and that's a real thing. So that's it's pretty awesome.
What when you're filming and all that, can you have a night out? I mean, I know obviously in the series everybody's doing all kinds of stuff and God knows what, but can you, how does it work when you're one, do you get on with each other, and two, do you go, oh, what should we go for a curry tonight, or what are we doing, or is it all very much work orientated?
No, absolutely, we all got on and we all went out. We went out a couple of times. I mean, again, it was a mental schedule, so we were constantly filming, waking up the next day doing something else, but we always,
so you don't go and coke it up in the toilet every night. That's
not for me,
absolutely, but, do not condone anything like that, absolutely not,
kids, absolutely not. No. But no, we did find some time to go for like some dinner or like just chill and have like a drink. It was a real good time. And and you know, we again, I think we afforded ourselves those times because we really cared about the show. So we'd work constantly trying to make something really good, and then we'd be like, "Oh, it's Friday night. Come on, let's hang." And we did. You know, it was good times.
Are you on a WhatsApp group together? Do you keep in touch? Are your buddy? Well, and also, I mean, the thing is, we're doing this interview for anybody watching in the middle. It's only been two shown, certainly in England, in Britain, and Ireland. Are you keeping in touch and WhatsApping and?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really? You're all buddy. How's it going and what are you doing and all that?
I thought that was the thing. You make it sound like it's a weird thing. No, I thought we yes, we do. We have a WhatsApp. And
that's great.
We were literally talking this morning. I mean, because it's all new for us, we're like sending each other like things that people send us sometimes, which is just brilliant. Like the weirdest conversations. You know, we'll message each other after an episode and be like, I've literally just got this message through. Marisa will send something through, or Mahala, and we just all laugh about it. Yeah, we're very close like that. Yes, they're dudes.
I guess you've seen the whole series. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
No, actually, I've seen one to like rough cuts of 1 to 6.
Yeah. Right. Do they go to when you WhatsApp to go, hey, bloody hell, you were good in that. You were great in that. Do you know what? I thought you were brilliant in that.
No, we just tear each other apart. We think everyone's terrible. No, I'm joking. No, we definitely do say, you know, well done. Again, you kind of do these things and you don't really know what's going on. And then when you see, you know, Mahala or someone do something, I'm like, God, you know, you're brilliant, you know. And it's, and I have to tell her, because I remember the night before when was, you know, sat in my apartment or whatever, and we were talking about it and she was so worried. And then to see what it then becomes, and I go, that's bloody great. I just have to message her.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Daddy, obviously, in the pipeline. Is there anything else you can tell us? Anything else coming up? And as a result of Gus and the success of Industry, will more scripts pop through the door and all that kind of thing? Not that they would ever do that, but you know what? Oh, my God, there's the postman.
Exactly. Yeah, one second, mate. Just no. I mean, I certainly hope so. You know, Gus is an Industry has been an incredible thing. I've never done anything like it, and it definitely feels like such a.
Is there anything you want to do? Is there anything you'd say? I really want to do that, or is it? Are you sort of conditioned by what actually comes your way?
No, I mean, I definitely have like dreams, and I definitely have things, parts that I want to do, but I think
come on, spill the beans, come on.
No, I mean, listen, I don't want to double call these things. Sometimes you say these things and you're like, oh, that's, it's never going to happen now. It's the curse. I don't give into that. But no, it's you just want to do stuff that's interesting. You want to do stuff that's that always takes up, you know, a level. Gus was definitely that for me. I wanted to do something that was different, like I hadn't seen someone do, and I really hope, you know, that's what I did with Gus. So I want to do more stuff that's just different, you know, nothing, no two projects are the same and all that jazz.
Hey, do you know what?
What?
Thanks. I really enjoyed chatting to you. It's been fantastic.
You're absolutely hilarious. I'm a big fan. I'm genuinely a big fan.
It's been brilliant chatting. The show's fantastic. The character's obviously so interesting, what have you. But we'll watch. Do us a favour. When you're a massive star, we'll do another interview. Well, not you're a massive star now, obviously, but you know what I mean. In the next 10 years, it's going to be fascinating watching what happens to you. I'm sure it's going to be really, really exciting.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Honestly, a pleasure.
Even if you did call me old, I don't care.
I never said that.
Listen, David, take care of yourself. Thanks a lot, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Take care, mate. Nice one.
See you. Bye. Yeah.